Good evening again, and welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study as we make our way through the book of Zechariah together. Go ahead and turn with me tonight to Zechariah chapter 9. We're going to pick up in verse 14 where we left off last week. Now, as we pick up back in Zechariah chapter 9, remember that here in chapter 9, we begin to see a little bit more specific glimpses of the coming Messiah. If you'll remember back in chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, and having salvation is he humble, and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And remember, we see Jesus literally mounted on a donkey as he makes his way into Jerusalem on what we celebrate as Passover Sunday. And so we see this take place in Jesus' lifetime as he literally fulfills that prophecy of Zechariah. And so all of chapter 9 is looking towards the coming Messiah in some way, shape, or form. Much of this is what we think of as progressive prophecy, where it is progressively being fulfilled throughout history, and it's sort of happening at increments along the way. And so we'll see some of that again tonight as we pick up in verse 14. Now, in verse 13 of chapter 9, as we sort of ended on last week, God was using Judah as a weapon, as a bow, if you will. What it says in verse 13, "I've bent Judah as a bow, I've made Ephraim as its arrow." And so God is now waging war against his enemies as he is setting Israel up for a time of great blessing and a time of great peace. And so we're going to pick up with that same imagery, that same continuation of that prophecy in verse 14. It says, "Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord will sound the trumpet and will march forth with the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them, and they shall devour and tread down the sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if drunk with wine, and be full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. On that day, their Lord, their God, will save them as the flock of his people, and like the jewels of a crown, for they shall shine on his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the young women." Let's pray, and then we'll walk through the text. Lord, again, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy tonight. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to walk through this text together. And Lord, I pray that it would have benefit in our day-to-day lives. We love you and we trust you, Lord Jesus. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we pick up then in verse 14, notice the war imagery is still being carried over from verse 13. And so God is still waging war against Israel's enemies and ultimately against his enemy. And as we talked about last week, God is going to bless the nation of Israel and God is going to bring them salvation. Now, we know that ultimately that only comes through the person and through the work of Jesus Christ. There are glimpses throughout Israel's history where God has blessed them and God has saved them from captivity. God has saved them from this enemy. We saw even last week that God had saved or would save the nation of Israel from the conquest of Alexander the Great coming from the south. And so all of that is true. All of that happens in Israel's history. But there's never been a time in Israel's history where they have experienced a perfect salvation and an ongoing or lasting peace. Up to this day, that still has not happened, and that will not happen until the second coming of Christ. And so when the Messiah, Jesus, first appears riding on a colt, mounted on a donkey, and he makes his way to Jerusalem, when he makes his way to the cross, and he makes that ultimate sacrifice for sin, he ushers in the eternal kingdom of God. But even as we are now waiting for his second coming, we are not experiencing a time of peace. Israel has not experienced a time of peace. But there is a day coming that this prophecy ultimately looks towards, where God will destroy his enemies and God will bring peace not only to Israel, but God will bring peace to the nations. And so that's what we pick up and begin to see in verse 14. It says, "Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord will sound the trumpet and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. And so notice it is God who's continuing from verse 13 into verse 14, continuing this warrior-like image that we have of God. God is the one who's going to stretch out his bow. He's going to sling his arrow. When his arrow lands, it's going to be like lightning. It's going to exhibit extreme power. God is going to fight and God is going to defeat the enemies of Israel. Notice in verse 15, the Lord of hosts will protect them, and they, the Israelites, shall devour, or God's people shall devour and shred down the sling stones, one of the tools, or one of the weapons, that's the word I'm looking for, one of the weapons during this time period was not just the sword and the bow and the arrow, but it was a slingshot. It was those who would cast slings from afar. And so God is going to tread down the sling stones and those enemy armies that are holding them. Notice they shall drink and roar as if drunk with wine, be full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. And so what the imagery here is that Israel is going to annihilate their enemies, not because Israel is going to have power, but because God is going to have immense power. God is going to use the Israelites to defeat their enemies, and God is going to utterly destroy his enemies. Now, again, we don't see this fulfilled. We have not yet seen this fully fulfilled, and I don't believe we're going to see this fulfilled until the second coming of Christ. That's when Jesus is going to return, and Jesus is going to utterly destroy his enemies. And remember that our greatest enemy is not Babylon. It's not Assyria. It's not Egypt. It's not anything that we would experience today in another country or another nation. Our ultimate enemy is sin, death, and the grave. And Jesus defeated those on the cross, and he is coming to secure our final victory when he comes again and utterly destroys Satan and sin and death and the grave forever, 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 and ever, and ushers us into his eternal kingdom. And so that's what's being pictured here. And notice in verse 16, as we begin to see this sort of imagery play out, it says, on that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people, for like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine on his land. And so on that day, when Christ returns, on that day, the day that this prophecy is looking forward to as its ultimate day of fulfillment, on that day, the Lord their God will save the nation of Israel. He will save those who are his people. Notice as the flock of his people. And we know that that will include not only the Israelites who come to faith in Jesus, but it will include all those from every tongue, from every tribe, from every nation who profess faith in Jesus Christ. And then we will be the jewels of a crown. We will shine forth God's glory over the land as he ushers us into his eternal kingdom. And so we see the looking forward to of the salvation of the Lord. And then that causes Zechariah here, as he is being spoken through by God, it causes God to then call out praise. It says, for how great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. And so when we think about what Jesus has done for us, when we think about the ultimate victory that he has over death and the grave, that he resurrected from the grave, defeating death and the grave and sin forever, and when we think about the eternal kingdom that is to come, it causes us to want to praise him. How great is his goodness and how great is his beauty. We serve a good God, a gracious God, and a merciful God, and we look forward to the day that we will dwell with him for all of eternity. And so then at the end of this, in verse 17, grain shall make the young men flourish and new wine the young women. It's talking about a time of prosperity and a time of blessing. It's talking about a time when the people of God will be blessed because they are the people of God. Again, we experience that in partial now. We are blessed to be the people of God. We are blessed beyond measure to be the people of God. But at the very same time, we experience difficulties and persecutions. And even Scripture tells us that they persecuted our Lord, they will persecute us as his followers. And so we don't experience ultimate blessing and ultimate prosperity until we get to the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And so there is a day coming when we will be able to experience full blessing and full prosperity because of the second coming of Christ. And so we look forward to that day. We look forward to God redeeming the nations, and we look forward to the day that Christ will return. And so what do we do with that now? Well, we continue to have faith, we continue to trust, we continue to long for and look forward to the second coming of Christ. Our battle has not been completely ended yet. It has been won, but we're still enduring the battle to this day. Every day, we still struggle with sin. We still struggle with temptation. We're still struggling with persecutions and things all over the world. But the day is coming when Christ will return, and he will secure an ultimate and final victory over sin. And so we look forward to that day, and we have faith and trust in that day. And then I also want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you really can't look forward to that day. You have to look forward to that day having a personal relationship with Jesus. And so if you're listening to this and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to share with you more about how you can do that. I'd encourage you to reach out to us with a messenger, leave a comment, some way that we can get in touch with you. And we would love to share with you more about how you can trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so I just want to pray for us tonight. I want to thank God for his goodness. I want to thank God for his beauty. And I want to thank the Lord for what he is going to do when Christ does return. So let's pray and just give God praise together tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your beauty. How great is your goodness? How great is your beauty? And Lord, we look forward to the day that you will return, that you will defeat death and the grave and sin and Satan forever, and we will dwell with you in prosperity and blessing for all of eternity. Lord, we are looking forward to you having defeated all of our enemies, Lord, that we will never battle again. And we are so grateful and thankful this text makes clear that you are the one who will win the victory, Lord, that you are the one who goes to battle on behalf of your people. And so we just thank you for that, and we praise you for that, and we take great comfort and confidence in that together tonight. And so, Lord, we look forward to that, and Lord, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. And so we thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.